Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD for tonight's Bracket Rundown Show.
Woohoo!
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, Matt Sikowski, down below, John Stalica and John Titel. Five of us here this evening. This is our Bracket Rundown Show where we actually will be building a 1 through, actually by the end of the show, 1 through 68, but mostly concentrating on through the end of the at-large bids of a seed list. And before we get into that, David, let's kind of define some terms here. And I was wondering if you could throw some of these terms out there. We're going to be talking about things like protected seeds and the bubble and what those mean.
Yeah, protected seed is essentially the top 16 teams or seeds 1 through 4. Technically, they're not supposed to be in a road game type environment. So, like, if Kentucky is a 1 seed and IUPUI makes the field, in theory, like, that could conceivably be a home atmosphere for IUPUI in Indianapolis. So rather than put IUPUI in Indianapolis, they'd move them somewhere else. The other term that you hear us is a first ballot team. This is essentially the teams that make the NCAA tournament, the teams that are put into the tournament by the committee at the very beginning of the process, and those are the teams that are in regardless of what happens in the conference tournament. There's 32 automatics, 36 at larges, so your first ballot teams are roughly the teams seeded 1 through 9. And then there's the bubble. If you're inside the bubble, you're in the field, but you're not on the first ballot. If you're outside the bubble, you're not in the field, but it's in reach. And if you're on the bubble, you're right on the cut line. Am I missing any other jargon that we typically use?
I'll tell you, if we throw anything else out there, we will try to define it as we go along.
Yeah.
I want to just note here that when it comes to the real selection committee, they actually have 3 tasks, not just picking the field, but they pick the field, they seed them 1 through 68, and then they create the bracket. We're going to kind of do those first 2 steps at once tonight, both picking the field and seeding them 1 through at least the end of the at-large bids. Then after the show is over offline, we're going to go ahead and bracket it up. And so if you look down below us, don't do it yet, but if you look down below us, down there, you could actually see that final bracket. Just don't do it yet through the whole show.
One more point of emphasis, Chad. Like, the real selection committee, we have a selection committee guessing expert on our panel in John Titel. But that's not what we're really doing. We're not saying what we think the committee will do, are we?
Well, it depends. We're each of us is making our own calls to how we evaluate the teams. Some of us use, like, you know, pick teams out of the hat, David, and others actually use real objective criteria. But we will get to that in a second. What I'm going to do is go ahead and pull up our screen here. This is our magic board here, I guess you can call it, almost the 1 through 68 seed list, where we're going to, if you see in the bottom left-hand corner here, it tracks how many at-large bids are remaining, so we don't put too many teams in. But what I'm going to do today, a little bit different than in prior weeks, I'm going to go to each of you, ask you to give me an entire seed line. We're going to have a little debate back and forth, and I have a power tonight, David. I have the power to veto one team, replace it with somebody else for each seed line.
Yes, and I also have that power to veto.
No, you don't. You have no power. But let's stop here and listen to me talk. Let's get to everybody else. And Matt, I randomly chose you to take care of the one line for us. So my question to you is, who are your 1 seeds? Who are the top 4 teams right now, especially given the chaos we've seen in the last 2 days?
All right, I am going in this. Is in order. I have, even despite Tuesday night, still the number 1 overall seed. I actually have Gonzaga all the way up to my number 2 overall seed. I have Baylor. And my 4th one, this is interesting, a team that hasn't been discussed a ton yet. By the rising up, I have North Carolina as my final 1 seed.
Okay. Did you say Villanova number 1 overall?
Yeah, Villanova number 1 overall.
Okay, you cut off there a little bit for me. What I'd like to do is go to each of you now and tell me if he's right or if he's wrong. And Titel, let me start with you. What do you think of Matt's 4 1-seeds there?
I like most of them. I think even with the loss, Villanova is a near lock as of right now, and I think also going forward in March. I love undefeated teams, so I think it's time for Gonzaga to get up there. Baylor's only loss of the year, I believe, is to West Virginia, which is nothing to sneeze at, so I like them too. As far as the 4th, he's 100% right that Carolina is rising, and it's because teams ahead of them have lost, like Kansas, Kentucky, Florida State. So I don't think it's a bad pick. If I had to go with a fourth number one, man, it's tough. Like, I'll give it to him. No, let's go with it. Let's put the heels up there.
All right. You got an agreement there. Well, Stalika, let me bring you in because we haven't heard from you yet this evening. Do you also agree with these four teams?
I can agree with three of them, although I would still have Kansas as my fourth number one. I mean, I know they didn't look very good in Morgantown, but I guess outside of Oklahoma, not many other teams outside of West Virginia have played well. I mean, they have their best win is probably going to be against Duke, although even that one is starting to fade a little bit. But I guess now that we think about it, their other three top wins are going to be against the Big 12, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, and they're still a respectable 8-2 away from home.
Yeah, and David, I just pulled up here this Kansas profile. Unfortunately, it scrolled down a little too far. Let me try to get it back up there. This is Kansas profile here, and what do you think about, first of all, about Matt's one seeds, and second of all, about John's argument that maybe Kansas blows here instead of North Carolina?
Well, I think Matt is 75% right, and I think John Stalika is 100% right. You absolutely need to veto North Carolina. Losing on the road to a protected seed shouldn't ding you very much. I just don't think that there's really a whole lot of fault there, especially when you look at the top of their profile, the win against Duke, some of the road wins that they picked up. And when you look at the top of North Carolina's profile, while they are rising and while they may play their way up there, I don't think that they have but one win away from home against a team that's solidly in the field. And this is also a team that lost to Georgia Tech by about as the same margin that we saw Kansas lose to protected seeded West Virginia. I just think Kansas is better on the court and on paper.
Well, Matt, let me go back to you to try to defend this North Carolina over Kansas selection here. Again, here's Kansas again with just the two losses. And as David pointed out, you've got the loss of Georgia Tech there that you throw in on Carolina.
Yeah, for me, what I like for Carolina is I like their win over Wisconsin more than anything Kansas has done, at least away from home. And also the win over Florida State, who I've digged them a bit, but I still have them well within protected seed range. So that's two wins over protected seed that Kansas, I don't think, frankly, has any at this point.
Stalika, you want to respond to that? How about the fact that we've got the wins over Wisconsin and Florida State there for this Carolina team, and you don't have that quality of win for Kansas?
I would probably say the top two or top three wins I would give an advantage to North Carolina. But if we're looking overall at the profile, including the other teams, not just the top 100, but also the bye games, I would also give the edge to Kansas right now. Because we talk about four teams that Kansas has beaten that are probably NCAA tournament teams. They also have wins against nine other teams that are also recently, shall we say, second tier, like Georgia, Stanford, Davidson, Nebraska, TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas. I'm not sure North Carolina has quite the same, but probably going to be a little similar.
And if you look at that strength of schedule, though, they are fairly close. I think it's a very interesting debate at this point. I think they're very similar profiles. Let me go back to you, to Tytel. You also are on the North Carolina side. Is it the wins over Florida State and Wisconsin that are tipping the balance there for you?
Yes, but also the fact that when you beat average teams like Tennessee and NC State, who in the past week have become much better-looking wins, I think that counts for a lot. It's hard to explain away the loss to Georgia Tech, but Florida State just lost to Georgia Tech, so I think that's a coin flip. I don't think Kansas or Kentucky or the Seminoles are a bad pick. I just think that there's a lot of merit to Carolina's profile, but it's not a perfect profile. If they're number two seed, I'm not going to lose sleep about that either.
Right. Well, in the end, I am going to do is I am not going to exercise any veto power. I'm going to allow Caroline to stand here on the one line.
Just whatever Chad wants.
Well, hey, David, I had the power to veto one of the teams. I'm not going to do it. I can stick with them. But, David, let's go ahead and take a look at the two line. And let me call on you, David. Give me your four two seeds. I guess you've already mentioned Kansas, so I think you want them up there.
Yes, I have. If you give me a second to get my sheet in order here. So on this line, I have, and again, you won't be vetoing any of these. I have Kansas, who we've already talked about. Arizona, all the way up here, love what they've done, and I think that since they've been at full strength, they've gotten better. I still have Florida State this high. I know that they had a really atrocious night the other night, but it doesn't change the fact that they have the wins over Louisville. They have the win on the road at Virginia. And by the way, Virginia, with their two wins against protected seeds on the road, I love that. I just think the top of Virginia's profile is superb. Winning at Notre Dame and at Louisville, I have them as my number eight overall.
The Virginia Cavaliers make cracking the two line as well as Arizona. And Tytel, right. Let me go right to you here. You being our Arizona guy, what do you think about David's two seeds? Would you agree with him, or do you think, or is there something that you think is wrong here?
I don't think I see any argument. I mean, Butler did beat Arizona, so I could see you flipping those. The Ducks look amazing so far, but I think that I would say no veto. I like all four of these.
You do like all four of them. All right. Matt, let me pull you in here on this line. Do you agree as well? Matt, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. Okay.
Okay. Your thoughts on this line, Matt?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I actually had Louisville over Virginia, but knowing that Virginia beat them head-to-head, I'm okay. I still had Kentucky at two. I had a Florida State, but it's not a huge thing for me either way. I had both Florida State or Florida State and Virginia on my three line, so it's not a crazy rise for them to be twos.
All right, the two teams I guess that have been mentioned here as potential replacements are Butler and Kentucky. Sleek, as I go to you, I'm going to pull up first this Butler profile. But your thoughts on these four teams?
I would agree as far as Gonzaga, Arizona, and Butler goes. I mean, I know we've given Butler some grief for their two bad losses, but at some point you have to reward them for their top wins, because I think at least eight of their wins are going to be against NCAA tournament teams, Northwestern, Arizona, Cincinnati, Indiana, Villanova, Xavier, Marquette, and Seton Hall.
You would put Butler in here instead of one of these teams?
I guess my other initial thought was I was kind of surprised to see Kentucky out of there, but really outside of dominating the SEC, it seems like their best wins are North Carolina and a Michigan State team that's probably going to barely make the field. But I guess Florida State would have been the one team I probably would have taken out in favor of Butler.
All right. Well, I pulled up a couple of profiles here, and again, having a little trouble with them scrolling too quickly, so I'll try to get this back here. This is Kentucky's profile. Again, like as you mentioned, there's not much in that top 50 and nothing on the road there. Compare it over here to this Butler team that has seven top 50 wins, including Cincinnati. Arizona was a neutral court at Seton Hall. We also wanted to compare that. I think Florida State is a team that you kind of say doesn't belong, and David, let me go back to you here. Can you make the case here why Florida State does belong here over this Butler team?
Full disclosure, Butler is next on my list. I really like them, and I actually looked at them both really closely. To me, the end of the day, the true road win at Virginia, Butler has amazing wins. They don't have a true road win against the protected seed. And if you look at the Florida State's losses, they don't have any upset losses on there like Indiana State, which was an upset loss.
Well, they do have the losses to Temple and Georgia Tech, and that Temple loss is fading fast, actually, on the Florida State profile.
Yeah, okay. Good point. I think Florida State's been a little more solid away from home. That was but it's very close in my book. But I think if you ask me the tipping point, I tend to favor the top of the profile, and I just think the win at Virginia is very, very good.
Well, I have this amazing power to veto, and we've gone through two lines, and I'm not going to use one. I think the Butler argument very interesting. In the end, I do agree that Butler should be down the line lower probably. But Tytel, let me turn to you now and take a look at the next four teams up. I'm assuming Butler's going to be in there, but you know, it's your four teams, so go ahead.
We're also assuming Kentucky's going to be there, and you are correct.
Okay.
As Louisville beats several good teams this year and Kentucky, and anything going forward over the weeks ahead that are road bumps are going to be without point guard Quentin Snyder. I like them as my third number three seed. And as far as the fourth, I think it's a coin flip from the Pac-12. The Ducks beat UCLA, so I kind of like them, especially after UCLA lost to a fading USC team last night. So I would say Oregon would be my fourth.
Oregon going in the fourth, narrowly over UCLA. Salika, let me start with you here on the comments on these four teams, Butler, Kentucky, Louisville, Oregon.
I agree on teams like Kentucky, Butler, and Louisville. I probably would have had Notre Dame in favor of Oregon just because I like the top of Notre Dame's profile better than what Oregon has done so far. But, I mean, if we're looking at, I guess, KenPom or other tempo statistics, I could see where Oregon would get a bit of an edge.
Yeah, I'll pull up this Notre Dame profile here. Matt, as I go to you, we see this. They've got the five top 50 wins, although the Pitt win, is that really a top 50 win? The Clemson win is exactly 50, and only one between 51 and 100.
Yeah, I actually want to throw another team out here, and that would be the Mountaineers of West Virginia.
Yes, good call.
David, it's not your turn. Shut up.
I was agreeing with Matt.
First of all, you also wanted to throw this Oregon profile up here. Missing in one key category, which I could talk to with David for a second here. But Matt, you wanted to bring up West Virginia instead of Oregon?
Yeah, instead of Oregon. I think as good as Oregon's playing now, that I think three is still a line too high for them, given their profile is basically that UCLA win. And I guess UCLA and maybe USC, that's like both at home, and that's basically their profile. I mean, besides West Virginia's win over Kansas, remember, they have a win in Charlottesville that I think is really impressive, and that while that's about all they did of note out of conference, that's worth basically 2 to 3 wins in real talk.
Yeah, and you look at this is that West Virginia profile. They beat two of the teams that we just discussed for the one line there, Baylor and Kansas, and both of them handily at home. Yes. But the Oklahoma loss, the Temple loss, the Texas Tech loss. David, where are you in terms of this three line?
I have West Virginia on it. I have them in over Oregon and I actually have them in over both Oregon and Kentucky. And I have UCLA up on this line as well because I still just like that win at Kentucky. I know they're fading fast and they would be the last team I had on this line. And the more I look at them, the harder it is for me to keep them up there. But initially, I think I'm changing my mind on UCLA, even though they did win at Kentucky. And Kentucky hasn't done too much more than that. But I do definitely like West Virginia. I actually have them ahead of both Louisville and Kentucky.
Well, David, I want you to address this Oregon profile because I know we just discussed that they did beat UCLA. But can you tell us what's missing on this Oregon profile?
Wins away from home. I mean, it's legal in Oregon. It's a great place to be. I don't like leaving Oregon either, but it's you have to. I mean, you can't be like the high school loser on the weekend. You have to leave home and do some things away from home.
Well, Titel, let me go back to you here. The argument seems to be West Virginia versus Oregon here. Can you defend why Oregon is better than a West Virginia team that has wins over Baylor and Kansas?
Dylan Brooks is arguably the star of the Oregon Ducks basketball team, preseason first-team All-American. He played 0 minutes in their loss to Baylor. He played 13 minutes in their loss to Georgetown by 4 points at a neutral site. At full strength, which I think is what the committee cares about, and they take into consideration players who are not on the team at the times of wins and losses, that is enough to vault them over a very good West Virginia team, but I won't lose sleep. I think they're both right there, but I think the Dylan Brooks injury factor is worth considering.
Right. The other team that was mentioned here was this Notre Dame team. John, you didn't really sell me on that, but Salika, I mean, but did you – Dave, let me go back to you one more time here. Do you want to respond to Titel's argument about Dylan Brooks being out?
Yeah, well, I mean, what did they fail to do while he was out? Like, I don't think I mean, they failed to beat – I'm not dinging them for the loss to Georgetown. I don't think they win at Baylor even if they have him.
We'll never know.
I know, but you do know that West Virginia did win with the players that they had.
Yes.
Well, Tytel, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to exercise my first veto of the evening here. And West Virginia is going to take that final spot. More so, I think it's really what comes down to it for me is what you do control in your schedule is the road games you play. And they really didn't do it non-conference. They didn't only play the game at Baylor. And when you look at a team like West Virginia who has the road wins, Notre Dame even who has the road wins, Oregon, it just misses that meat there, I think. Stalika, let me head to you now. We did get West Virginia in there. Oregon is out for now. You have the power to put them in there along with three other teams.
Well, I think I'd alluded to this earlier. I was originally going to have Oregon as my first number four, so pencil them in. I would have also had Notre Dame slightly ahead of them, but besides UCLA, which I would also agree with.
Okay, I'm sorry. Notre Dame, UCLA.
And I think it's also time to add the Cincinnati Bearcats to the mix.
Well, who's your second team after Notre Dame?
Let's see. I had Notre Dame. I had UCLA and Oregon.
Okay. Notre Dame, Oregon, UCLA, and Cincinnati. So we did get Oregon in here, plus the Notre Dame team. UCLA, who David mentioned, and Cincinnati now. Matt, let me start with you this time around. Where has John gone wrong?
The only one I would actually have Wisconsin ahead of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Even though I have Cincinnati number 18 on my list, so it's not egregious that they're at 16, but I think Wisconsin's a little bit better team and probably still a little better profile in that, like, they have two wins over teams on the road over two teams I have on my seven line right now in Indiana and Marquette. And Cincy, most of their good work has been done at home.
David, here is that Wisconsin profile.
Yeah.
I think the top profile in the Big Ten, and we're on the four line, and we might not have a Big Ten team in there. Isn't that reason enough to put them in?
Well, I had them in, and Big Ten or not, you know, the win at Minnesota, while Minnesota might not be, they might be fading, they're still tough to beat at home. The win at Indiana, like he said, I mean, those are three really good road wins. I think it's better than anything Cincinnati's done. So I like their paper better, and I really like their team better. I really like this Wisconsin team, and it's a case of where I think they're better on the court than what their paper indicates. Their paper is still pretty damn good.
Right. Well, Tytel, let me ask you about this. I guess this is a debate now. It suddenly becomes Cincinnati versus Wisconsin, or if there's another team here that came on that you'd like to take issue with instead.
I always like to take issue. So I know that Creighton is not one of the top 16 teams in the nation as of today. However, with Mo Watson, they only lost one game to the defending national champions. So if the committee in March, not today, gives credit to a team when they're at full strength, I think Creighton is a top four protected seed team. That being said, I love recency bias, and it doesn't get more recent than a little Bearcat win. I've never seen a coach as angry as Mick Cronin was tonight. And everybody, his team, the crowd, the refs, never seen an angrier coach. Thank God he won.
He was yelling at his SID at one point. It was amazing.
Yeah, here is that Cincinnati profile. And Stalika, you're the one that gave us these teams here. And do you want to – I can't believe I'm asking this. Do you want to defend Cincinnati over Wisconsin?
Well, as strange as it sounds, I think we also have to look at some of the top wins here, because I would probably take Iowa State on the road, SMU and Xavier against what Wisconsin has so far. I mean, their best wins right now are probably going to be against other first ballot teams, which would be Marquette, Indiana, Michigan, and Minnesota. I'd actually argue that SMU is going to be slightly better at this point. Wisconsin is 6-1 against the Big Ten, but four of those wins came at home, and pretty soon they're going to have to leave the friendly confines of the Kohl Center.
David, let me go back to you on the same debate here, because I got this Wisconsin profile up.
Yes.
At Marquette, at Minnesota, at Indiana, versus the Cincinnati profile at Iowa State, at Temple, at Houston for their best three road wins.
Yeah, and I know Xavier's a top 50 win. Xavier has exactly one road win on the season. So, and as we're recording this, Tim Miles was just unjustly given a technical foul.
We're going to get to maybe not Tim Miles, but maybe the team he's right. playing tonight in a few minutes, I think. But let me go back here. Stalica, I am going to veto you. I think that the argument here on this Wisconsin profile is better than the Cincinnati profile. I appreciate
you for doing the humane thing tonight, Chad.
I do like the recency. I like the Xavier win, the win over Xavier, but I do like also David's argument here that, you know, Xavier's just not that good on the road and maybe not that good overall. it may be a few more lines till we discuss them again. But Matt, let me jump back to you here. We did mention this Cincinnati team. They probably belong here on the five line. There was a brief mention of Creighton, which I want to get back to and discuss here in a second as well. But let me go to you for four teams first.
All right, yeah, I do definitely have Cincinnati on this five line. Jordan, I have Purdue actually as my top five seed. Then I have Cincinnati. Then I hate saying this, I have Duke. And actually for my final five seed, I have the Florida Gators.
Cincinnati, Duke, and the Florida Gators. Not Florida State, Florida. There we go. You did not mention Creighton, so I want to discuss that real quickly here. Mo Watson is out for the season. And, Tytel, let me actually ask you about this here. Mo Watson being out for the season, do you think the committee evaluates them as they are at full strength or as they are at the time of the tournament?
I think that they're going to say that since Watson is out for the rest of his career, unfortunately,
right.
In college, that the losses have to be taken into account, grain of salt, but like it's not like they did bad without him, and now that they'll be back at full strength in March, then it's discounted even less. Since he's going to be out, they have to evaluate him as out, and when he's out, Creighton is not that good a team. And arguably not as good as Purdue or Florida. But I think that he was so good. They beat Wisconsin, they beat Butler, they beat Xavier. Who is Florida beaten? Like our favorite teams, Arkansas and Miami? I mean, come on.
So would you disagree with Matt on these four teams that have Creighton in here somewhere on this five line?
I like Purdue, Cincy, Duke. I would put Creighton over Florida. I mean, is Florida going to be able to – let me rephrase that. Would Creighton beat Florida today without Watson? No. Would they beat him in March without Watson? No. So Florida is a better team, but I think the better profile is Creighton as of today.
So I'm guessing Seton Hall is not one of your favorite teams, I take it.
You take it correctly, sir.
David, let me ask you here. Do you want to take exception with any of other Matt's teams, or do you want to weigh in on this Creighton versus Florida?
I don't have Creighton up here. They're in my field. I think I have them on the next line. But I guess my thing is Creighton's profile better than this? Yes, but the profiles are indicators, not necessarily deciders for me. I don't think their team is as good as their profile, so that's kind of where I laid them down. A team that I have up here instead of Florida, and it's kind of hard to make the case because they don't really have any of the wins that really jump out at you, but they have a lot of them. I have Maryland on this line instead of Florida. The other two teams, I don't have Cincinnati quite up there yet because South Carolina, I still have them ahead of them. But I like this. I mean, Maryland, they only have the two losses.
Well, Matt, let me let you respond before I go over to Sleek. Let me let you respond to this. To maybe Maryland instead of Creighton is the one that belongs up here on this line over Florida. And here's that Maryland profile with only the two losses and sweep of Illinois, a win at Michigan, neutral court win over K-State.
Yes, the K-State and Michigan wins are pretty solid. I've got both in my field, and they're both of those wins are away from home. I just if we're going to the team simply, like if we're lining up Florida and Maryland on a neutral court, I think Florida wins, and I think Florida might win fairly convincingly.
David, do you think he's right? You're the Florida defender here.
No, I'm the Maryland.
You're Maryland defender here. I apologize.
It would be close. It's just Florida didn't have the best of weeks. They lost at home to Vanderbilt. I just don't think that Maryland has. While they don't have the big wins, they've held serve, whereas Florida, you know, hasn't necessarily always done that. And it's just I hate to just look at the sheer volume of wins, but Maryland's got a lot of them.
Stalika, where do you stand on this whole issue here? We've discussed Maryland, Creighton, Florida as kind of a three different teams for this last spot on the five line. You want to take exception with somebody else?
Well, a couple things. Number one, I would agree that Creighton is going to be a number six based on the team that they are right now. I mean, losing to Marquette at home is one thing. Getting blown at Georgetown, that is not a positive sign. But as far as the Maryland-Florida thing, I'm probably going to take Maryland right now because I think both Maryland and Florida have three wins against teams that I would consider to be in the field. But I can't believe I'm saying this. I would take the trio of Kansas State, Indiana, and Michigan over Seton Hall, Miami, and Arkansas that we had argued earlier. I know Florida has a bit of a bloated record away from home because of their renovations, but Maryland, they're actually a perfect 7-0 away from home. Their only two losses were the baffling ones against Pitt and Nebraska.
Well, you can't ding him for losing to Tim Miles.
All right, and we seem to have lost the screen there.
Great picture you got there.
We got a picture of a road there. As I try to get this back up, though.
I mean, talk about road to the Final Four.
Right.
There it is, everyone, the road to the Final Four. I'm going to pull down the screen share here, get this resolved for a second here. But Tytel, what I didn't get your thoughts here on this, at least this Florida versus Maryland debate. So why don't we hear from you on that?
Sure. I think that it's another coin flip. It's hard to discount Maryland's pure record. I mean, wins and losses are important, and they have a lot of the former and not a lot of the latter. Florida doesn't have – well, neither of them have any great wins, I think, in terms of protected seed caliber wins. And when you lose to teams like Gonzaga and Duke and Florida State, it impresses me more than if you lose to Pitt and Tim Miles. So, again, coin flip, but
– losing to Tim Miles doesn't impress you? Not many people have been doing it this past few years, so you got to keep that in mind.
All right. All right. Well, David, while I try to get this screen back up here and still having some minor computer issues here, don't know what's going on. But, yeah, but
why don't those of you listening, you can't see, but Chad's messing everything up right now.
I am definitely messing everything up right now, and I do not know what's going on. But, David, in the end, I am going to go ahead and leave Florida up there on that on that five line. So why don't you go ahead and tell us who your six seeds are, which we'll get up on the
screen. Who was on? Oh, I'm frozen here. Who was on there? It was Duke, Purdue.
Cincy
and Florida.
Okay. And then Duke and Purdue. Well, my next ones are Maryland, who we just discussed, South Carolina. This is a huge jump, but, I mean, they've had a hell of a week. And when you beat two protected seeds in 1 week, one of them away from home, that's – or not, I guess – Creighton isn't really protected anymore. I have Marquette and Creighton are my next two teams.
You have Marquette and Creighton here on this line as well. Matt, you're the Marquette guy. Do you agree with David that Marquette is looking like a six seed now?
I have us as a seven, and NX is a last seven. It's a big thing. Actually, I had Marquette in my field, which was kind of questioned going in this week. I had them in just barely before these two games, but like – for barely in, I have him as a seven, I think is pretty fair. I don't believe, did David mention, I have St. Mary's still as a six. I think that's the one team he did not mention that I have.
Yeah, I don't have him on the in the six line.
Okay.
Okay.
I think Chad is frozen up here. Right.
But I will say, I agree with your other three, David. I have South Carolina, Creighton, and Maryland. We're also on my six.
Yeah. And again, Marquette, I mean, I know recency, but it's just there wasn't – when you look at them, well, they didn't have a lot of good wins before. They didn't really have any bad losses either. And they just greatly improved the top of their profile in a big way. And, I mean, that was one of the things that made them jump out like that.
Well, let's compare Marquette and Xavier, for example. I mean, Marquette also had a couple of close calls against Butler and Seton Hall, but – they've turned it around quite nicely against Creighton and Villanova. Xavier is a team that we're still waiting on, and at the rate they're going, they're barely going to be a first ballot team, if that.
Right.
All right, guys. Yeah, I think we've got these computer problems fixed here. We should have the board back up here.
All right. We finally got the board back. For those of you listening at home, it makes no difference. You can't see the damn thing anyway.
But I am going to show here, Dave, these were your teams here. They were South Carolina, Maryland, Creighton, and Marquette.
Yes. And let's see.
And so, Salika, you were commenting on this Creighton and Marquette, the Creighton-Marquette issue. Marquette issue?
Yeah, I was just saying if we were talking about, Marquette. I mean, I think there's also a bit of a recency factor right here, but – I probably would have taken St. Mary's, not so much for the paper, but more for some of their tempo statistics that they have as opposed to Marquette right now.
Tempo statistics?
Explain that, the tempo statistics. Go ahead. I want an explanation.
Simple. I would probably go by KenPom statistics and other, offensive and defensive metrics that we would be relying on for the Gaels. I mean, they're still going to have, a couple games coming up against BYU, and they'll still have one chance for a major victory at home against Gonzaga. But the ceiling is going to be higher, I think, for a team like Marquette as they go into the second half of Big East play.
Well, and Tytel, before I get to you for a second here, Matt, St. Mary's, you've got one win over a team that's going to be in this field, really, and that's the Dayton win.
Yeah, it's in a weird way. I am giving the belief in St. I think St. Mary's is going to beat Gonzaga there. And I know it's kind of hard to do, but with their schedule, you almost have to do a little bit of conjecture, though. If St. Mary's loses to Gonzaga, they're probably, geez, maybe all the way down to the 8 line for me. So, but for now, I have the faith in them. They're going to beat Gonzaga and Moraga there. Keep them. I have as my final 6 seed.
All right. Tytel, I'd like to get your thoughts on these four teams that we're debating here. Actually, 5 if you include St. Mary's.
I will not be including St. Mary's. I like South Carolina. I like Maryland. I like Creighton. As far as Marquette, I mean, certainly trending this way, and if they keep it up, they're going to go beyond this line. It's hard to find anybody with a better week than triple digits against Creighton and holding the defending champs to 70-ish points. Unbelievable week. Kudos to Coach Wojo. As far as my fourth, I'm going to have to defer to Mr. Xavier over here. Like, I know they're fading, especially with recency, but I just can't do Marquette yet. Soon, but not yet.
So you would actually go Xavier here.
Xavier many lines below this.
Well, I want to pull up Xavier's profile here because, you know, if you start taking a closer look here, the same kind of question I asked with St. Mary's, where are the wins? Where are the wins over teams that are solidly in this tournament?
Where are the losses over teams that are not? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there's one.
Get him out. No. Marquette's a good pick. St. Mary's a good pick. I just think that if the prediction is correct that St. Mary's does beat Gonzaga and Marquette keeps winning, like, we're going to laugh about this in a couple weeks. But as of today, but I can live with Marquette too, so – don't veto just for the sake of vetoing.
I'm not going to veto. I'm going to leave it here. I'm going to leave Marquette in.
Perfect.
Because the St. Mary's and Xavier, I am concerned about that question. Where are the wins? Marquette has those. There's a team that I'm surprised nobody mentioned, which is about to actually just defeated Tim Miles. I would have considered them on the 6 line as well.
Oh, explain that. I'm curious because I had them, I thought, higher than anybody else, but not quite this high.
Well, let's do that. Before we move on, let me pull up this Northwestern profile, which maybe if we got instant updates here on it, we'll actually be able to see that they just defeated Tim Miles.
Well, Tim yes, Miles was
73-61.
Unjustly, and it was a disgrace that the referees gave him a T.
And my issue, the reason why I would have Northwestern here is the question that Tytel just asked: where are the losses?
Yeah. And again, Penn State, not a tournament team, but it's hard to win there. Nebraska, Ohio State, not tournament teams, but those are hard. It's harder to win at those places than it is to beat a lot of first ballot teams on your own court. I like this profile a lot because I think that they've won games that aren't easy to win, and there's no losses really here.
Tytel, you have a fun fact for us about this Northwestern team?
This Northwestern team has been playing basketball for 112 years. They've never won more than 20 games in a season. As of this second, they are 17-4 with 10 regular season games left. I don't think that the Coach of the Year consideration is going to head out to Coach Collins in Chicago, but we're looking at the best Northwestern team in a century of basketball, potentially.
Yes. And they might land on the nine line. Good job, Northwestern.
John T, let me go to you here for your next four teams. We're back at down to the seven, what's going to be our seven line here. And I know you did mention Xavier, so I assume they're going to be here in your grouping.
I like the three that we have on under consideration. I like the Gales. I like the Musketeers. I like Northwestern. As far as the fourth, I think the teams in consideration are Minnesota and SMU. If you like recency, that USC win over UCLA last night at the crack of midnight was fantastic and is going to go a long way in the months ahead. But I think I would lean Minnesota. They've beaten Purdue. They've lost to great teams like Florida State and like Wisconsin. But we're starting to get into the range where there's like five other under consideration teams for every line, I think.
So you would go with Minnesota over USC despite the win over UCLA last night?
But a coin flip.
Okay. Let me get each of your thoughts on this. Matt, let me start with you.
I have Northwestern and St. Mary's here. I would have SMU on this line. And actually, I would have had the Hoosiers of Indiana, but I think if we could assume a loss here, maybe this is a line too high. So in that case, I actually had Xavier as my top eight. So
yes. Indiana is currently trailing by the amount of time left, 18.
Yeah. It's I would have SMU. I think this is a little too high for Minnesota. I don't have a lot of faith in this team right now. It looks like I think they're on a crash back down to earth, and it's at about 150 miles per hour right now.
Stalika, let me ask you, where do you agree with Matt? Do you agree with Tytel? Are you good? Do you want to go somewhere else?
I would agree that SMU should probably be on the seven line in a favor of a team like Xavier, but even though they lost tonight, I would also argue that Virginia Tech could also make a case for being on the seven as well.
All right, David, we have a lot of teams that we've mentioned now. Virginia Tech, USC, SMU, Minnesota maybe doesn't belong. Xavier maybe doesn't belong. Where are you at, David?
Let me see, because I have Minnesota, USC, Northwestern, and St. Mary's. The one team I don't have up there, I have three of his four. I just don't see it with Xavier. I can't really get with them, and it isn't that they lack wins on the road. It's that they lack wins at home, and they lack wins on a neutral floor against anyone that is really even on the bubble. Clemson, I guess, is on the bubble, but that's just about it. And had they won tonight, and had they picked up a road win against a solid tournament team, it would have changed the entire complexion of that profile, and I probably have them in even above this line. But without that, there's just nothing there.
Well, so would you go Virginia Tech here, or would you go SMU?
Indiana, Minnesota, USC, and Northwestern.
You would actually go Indiana here.
St. Mary's, Minnesota, USC, Northwestern.
USC. Yeah. Well, Tytel, let me you respond to this here, as both Xavier and Minnesota have been attacked.
Allow me to attack back. I agree that Xavier doesn't have any wins that are going to make your jaw drop. But I think that Clemson could be in the field. I think Utah, Wake are like solid wins. The Colorado loss is looking better as Colorado's en route to beating a horrible Oregon State team at home by single digits.
You're supposed to be convincing me.
I do say with a straight face, I know. I'm all for having an all Big Ten line if you want to throw in the Hoosiers and everybody else from the Big Ten, but I'll stick with my four.
All right. Matt, you were more SMU rather than USC here, correct?
Yeah, I think I like the Mustangs profile. I really like how they're playing. I mean, put it, they came a whole lot closer to where they get fifth, third than Xavier did, I would think, to be fair. Like, and I think they do get a rematch down at Moody in Dallas. So I think SMU will take that. So I think eight would be a little unfair for SMU given their record, their profile. I think they sit very well in all the computer numbers.
I'll tell you that you've all convinced me to put SMU on this line. I guess my biggest question left is whether I should be vetoing Xavier or vetoing Minnesota. And here is that Minnesota profile. David, what don't you like about Minnesota here?
I like it just fine. I mean, I like it just fine for this line.
Okay, you are the okay. You were yeah. You were a sleek.
No, I have everybody that I had three of the okay. Four. The only one I didn't have was Xavier, and I had somebody else instead, USC instead.
Okay, Matt, were you the one that didn't think Minnesota belonged up here?
Yeah, I don't have Xavier or Minnesota on the slide, but I only have Xavier one line lower. I actually had Minnesota as a 10 seed right now. Like, I don't like it all how they're playing. And it's one of those, what kind of what they are as a team, I don't think is what they are as a profile. Their profile is a little better than their team quality. And I think their team quality is going to start dragging their profile to more to where, like, come March, I would not be surprised at all if they're not even in this tournament.
Matt, I mean, the losses are fairly respectable, and they've got wins at Purdue and Northwestern. Sorry, Salika, you want to go ahead?
I was going to say that is an overreaction as far as Minnesota goes, because when we get to the 10 line later, I mean, you seriously want to argue that teams like Seton Hall and Dayton are going to be better than Minnesota right now? But as far as the Minnesota versus Xavier arguments, again, I'll look at the top three wins that both teams have. The Gophers won at Purdue. They won at Northwestern, which is, I think, the only team that actually won in Chicago. And they also beat Arkansas. Xavier's best wins are going to be against Clemson and also Utah and Wake Forest. That's not on the same level.
Going to make a little move here. Xavier has been vetoed down another line. SMU Minnesota. Is in.
Hey, boy, Chad really likes Minnesota. I think I'm in there too.
We're going to go ahead and put SMU in, leave Xavier out for now. I don't know that I could be convinced that Xavier falls any lower, though. And Sleek, let me go to you for this next line. Who would be your four teams, and would they include Xavier?
Yes, they would, although they would actually be my third out of the four teams in this grouping, because the top eight seed that I would have right now would be Virginia Tech. And then I think there's another team we haven't really discussed too much yet, and that's going to be USC, who also had a very nice performance against UCLA last night and actually beat the Bruins for the fourth straight time. And a team that we have discussed a couple times. This is where I would have Indiana right about now as the fourth, eight seed.
All right. Given what we did on the seven line, Tytel, what do you think about these four as your eight seeds? I know you want Xavier higher, but besides that.
I got two words for you. No veto.
No veto. I actually like the line a lot, but I want to give you each of you your chance to pipe in here. Matt, you?
Yeah, probably not, even though I kind of think it was a little bit of a one-off showing for USC last night, but for now, it's hard to argue that the teams I like have that much distinctly better profiles, so I'm pretty good with this line looking as is.
David?
Well, it's close, but I would flip one team. And again, Xavier is my top nine seed, and K-State with your favorite coach, Bruce Weber, is my last eight seed. And when you get down to it, Kansas State has done things.
Kansas State has done things. Let's pull up the Kansas State profile, David, so we could all take a look at it. And yes, they beat West Virginia at home.
Yes.
And what else did they do?
Well, one is infinitely more than zero, but the win at Oklahoma State is at least somewhat noteworthy. It's close, but Yeah, they beat West Virginia at home, and that's not a lot.
Let's go. I mean, there's two top 100 wins there, David.
Yeah, but look at.
And as our friend Kyle Lamb says, you get to disregard one top 100 win.
Oh, I stand corrected.
So therefore, all they've done is won at Oklahoma State. And David, I can't go with you here. I'm not going to exercise a veto on the line. Matt, why don't you tell me who your nine line is?
All right. So I will say, I do have Kansas City, betcha. Do have Iowa State. And I believe my next two teams are going to be a little high, but, man, I don't like teams that much here. So I have Middle Tennessee State and UNC Wilmington.
Well, you went with the under-the-radar teams, the teams from the non-major conferences. David, you're big on Wilmington and Middle Tennessee. Do you agree with Matt on them being here? And also, I know you like K-State. What about Iowa State?
Yeah, I have three out of the four, and the one that I don't have, UNC Wilmington, is my best 10 seed. The only thing I would do, it's very close, but I would swap Michigan State for UNC Wilmington. But I'm not going to lose too much sleep over it.
Michigan State. Well, Tytel, your thoughts on these as the 4-9 seeds?
It's fine. We're getting into range of hold your nose and pick a team. I want you to go back to the Kansas State profile and scroll up to the non-conference strength of schedule if you have a moment.
We don't have a moment.
68. Your best win is Colorado State. I'm not saying that doesn't mean they're the best 9 seed available, sadly, but very unimpressive scheduling, so shame on them.
Well, I mean, it's just – they and both them and Kansas have top 270 schedules.
Sleeker, before I go to you, I want to pull up this Iowa State profile also, because here's another profile of where's the meat here. I don't get this Iowa State team. I think they're barely in the field right now.
Well, I don't think the meat is going to be among first ballot teams, but their other teams are going to be fighting for bubble spots. I mean, beating Miami in the Old Spice Classic is going to carry some weight. Beating Texas Tech and Kansas State is also going to help. Sweeping the road trip at Oklahoma and Oklahoma State is actually starting to look a little more significant. They're also above 500 away from home, which is 5-4. I mean, if we're looking at other bubble teams, the only other teams that are going to be better are Middle Tennessee and
UNC Wilmington,
but they're probably auto bids anyway.
All right. Well, Stalika, would you agree then with these four teams here, K-State, Iowa State, Middle Tennessee, Wilmington?
I mean, I can agree with three of them, but I just can't agree with Kansas State being high and being up this high, not with that schedule.
Well, who would you have instead?
I mean, it kind of pains me to say this a little bit, given how they played against Boston College, but I would actually make the case for the Miami Hurricanes.
Whoa.
I don't believe now. David, does Miami even belong in the field right now?
They're not in my field. They're on my list. Let me see what line I would have them on.
What about the 17 line or the 18 yeah. line? Slicky, you mentioned them. Let me pull up this Miami profile here.
The league has been big on them all year. I mean, they did win at Pittsburgh by about 25 points less than Louisville did.
And but how again, does that conference strength of schedule look?
Again, if we're looking at
283, the same.
And how many games?
The reason that you did not like Kansas State is Miami has a thing.
Oh,
I mean, there's no shame in losing to Iowa State, Florida, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, and Duke. I mean, sure, losing at Syracuse is a bit of a problem this year.
I'm going ahead and I'm not going to exercise any vetoes whatsoever on this line. I'm going to leave it alone. Kansas State does pay me to be in there. I think they are a tournament team at the moment, and whether they're a 9 or a 10 is splitting hairs at this point.
Is Bruce Weber going to be wearing the same purple suit that Chris Mack did tonight?
I don't know. I'm an intelligent puppet, but I can't speak educatedly on what Bruce Weber will be wearing.
David, why don't you speak on who your next four teams are instead then? And this kind of scares me to go to you around the bubble.
Let's see.
Well, I know you like Michigan State, so
Michigan State, and I have Texas Tech up here, and I got Dayton up here.
Okay.
And this was TCU is my other team.
TCU.
Yes, and my 11, and the one that I have right behind TCU would have probably sent you through the roof. I'm sorry that
Arkansas.
No.
Let me.
Team Chad likes.
Tytel, is David crazy with at least one of these four teams, and maybe more of them?
Maybe. I want to give him a little credit for the Dayton pick, though. Mm-hmm. It's weird because they have not beaten the best teams they've played, like St. Mary's and Northwestern, albeit those were also like single-digit losses, as was Nebraska. A double-digit loss at UMass is very hard to explain this year. What I do like about their profile is the quality of wins against teams that might not make the tourney but are quote-unquote decent teams this year. Alabama, East Tennessee State, Vandy, St. Bonnie's, Rhode Island. Those are all top 100 teams. I understand that they might all miss the tourney, but I think that Archie Miller and company deserve a little credit for that. That being said, I'm sure I just jinxed them and they're going to lose at VCU on Friday. But right now, I really like that pick at this spot.
I'd give them credit for that Winthrop win too. This Winthrop team is looking really good out of the Big South right now as well. But Matt, what are your thoughts on David's teams?
I like David. I have Michigan State in the field, but I would have had them actually in one of my play-in games. I do not have either Texas team even in my field. So,
well, who would you have instead of the two Texas teams?
The one I have here, they're fading a touch, and then they've had a really hard schedule. I would still have the Pirates of Seton Hall up here. And then the other one, who I guess a little bit of home court here, but they're making me look good now, I would have the Wolverines right here, the Michigan Wolverines.
David, do you want to defend Texas Tech and TCU?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's pull up the Texas Tech profile. It's
here it is. RPI is actually updating now to 70, so that other screen was a little bit off.
Yeah, like, I mean, we have K-State in the field, West Virginia. I know that they won all those games at home, but at least they, you know, beat somebody at some point. Richmond, not the best team, but a respectable road win. And you're really not holding your nose a whole lot. I know that Oklahoma's way down in the standings, but they've had their moments, and it's not the easiest place to win. So there aren't really any anchors on this profile, and I think the top of it is better than what the top of Michigan's is. Although Michigan –
well, I think there's an anchor somewhere when you look at their non-conference face of schedule.
Well, it's not on the screen. No.
340.
Well, okay, it could have been a little bit better, but you know, it's
and first, like a team like we're speaking later, like a team like Georgia Tech, I can sort of forgive with their situation. Like, you didn't think you're gonna be that good. I don't mind you scheduling down. Texas Tech, you return a returning tournament team with a lot of guys back. What is your excuse for scheduling so poor?
That Tubby Smith isn't coaching them this year?
They're not close to an airport, and it's hard to fly places.
David, how about the other Texas team here, TCU? Slightly better non-conference strength, the schedule in the hundreds, but where are the wins?
They're right there. They're in that left column, Chad.
Illinois State, Iowa State at home, and Arkansas State.
This is a team that you liked, Chad.
I liked before they lost four of their last six games.
Yeah, but I mean, they were valiant efforts. And I just don't like anyone all that much below the – I mean, I compared to a team like Arkansas, they're just better.
And I'll say,
Sorry.
I said, real quick, I was just going to say the reason why I say I have Hall and Michigan, they did some things away from home. In Hall's case, yeah. Cal, and then also South Carolina. In Michigan's case, SMU and Marquette, who we both already have in the field. Those are all four of those wins away from home.
Yeah, there, that's there we
definitely
go.
A tournament played away from home.
They're Seton Hall. They beat Cal away from home. They beat a very good South Carolina team away from home. They've beat a Marquette team. These are the South Carolina and Marquette are both in our field already.
Right, and they've been struggling a tad lately, though.
Well, are you going to look at what they did? They did the past week. You're going to look at the whole season here.
I look at the whole season, and the last week is part of the season.
Also, Michigan, also with a win over Marquette, also with a win over SMU, yes. Both away from home.
Right.
With a win tonight over, or on the way to a win tonight over Indiana, at least. Stalika, your thoughts on these teams? I haven't heard from you yet.
I guess my first thought was I'm going to update the pillow fight in the Pac-12. Colorado beat Oregon State, so at least okay, they're up to 11th place. But as far as teams that I guess would be palatable right here, Dayton for sure, Michigan State for sure. I mean, this is where I would have actually suggested Arkansas and Seton Hall as far as other 10 teams. Since it looks like my Miami pick is going to be vetoed.
Well, actually, Arkansas is not bad here. I have them as my top 11. Them as a 10, too. I just had them, I think, a couple of teams other, but Arkansas is fine on this line, too.
My next team is Akron.
But John Titel, who would you have in here over these teams like Texas Tech and TCU, or do you agree with David on them?
I think they might squeeze into the field. I think that Seton Hall has been playing well, and wins over South Carolina and Marquette are now looking fantastic, frankly, and losses to Florida and Creighton are nothing to lose sleep over. So I would pump them up. As far as which Texas team to take out, I think they're both average. So
what are you doing?
I am exercising a veto, and David, what? I'm removing Texas Tech.
No!
And I'm putting Seton Hall in instead. And David, I'm also exercising a veto, removing TCU and putting Michigan in instead.
You can't do it.
David, I can veto everybody I want. Especially when you put crazy teams in like Texas.
Let's just let Chad fill out the list. That's apparently all.
And how put this out of? I'd rather have almost heard Akron here than I would of those Texas teams. Like.
The puppet is
like a Valley team here than one of the Texas teams, if we're going auto bids.
The puppet is going full Mick Cronin here.
Unconstitutional. You can't just veto two teams.
And the puppet has also been muted now, so we're okay. So let's go on now to the 11 line. John T., why don't you give me four teams?
If I must, I'll throw in the Texas schools of TCU and Texas Tech. If everybody wants to veto them, I will not lose sleep about it. I just can't – sorry, Stalika, I just can't do Miami here. Like, they have a lot of quality on the schedule, but I think I'm going to go a little ACC bias and get Clemson in here. As far as the fourth, really holding my nose. I don't see Cal coming with the left coast bias, so I'll throw Arkansas just to get everyone in a tizzy.
I actually like the Arkansas pick, quite honestly. Yeah.
I like Comiskey better.
Stalika, what do you like about – I know you like Miami still. We haven't put them in. How about these teams of TCU, Texas Tech, Clemson, Arkansas?
I mean, honestly, when I take a closer look at the Miami profile compared to some of the others, I am a little bit soured right here. But I would still happily take Arkansas. I mean, I can make the case for TCU.
Sorry, we've got to look at David's screen for a second here. All right, David, that's enough. You can have your mute back.
All right. He's about to get ejected from the podcast. But I think when I saw that non-conference schedule for Texas Tech, I really cannot agree with them in here, but Clemson – this is also a walk of faith here because I know they beat South Carolina when Thornwell was out, but really Lee, what have the Tigers done outside of that? They did win at Wake, which might be an NCAA tournament team. They did beat Wilmington at home, which is looking relevant. But other than that, Alabama, Nebraska, Davidson, Georgia, I'm not sure that's quite enough.
Well, I think you kind of answered your question, though. What else did they do besides being South Carolina? They beat Wake and they beat Wilmington. The big problem here is the conference record, obviously. And they've got to, you know, when you lose six games in a row, you're on life support. Matt, your thoughts on these teams, though?
I like Clemson. I like Arkansas. I have both in my field, which is an improvement over the line. The Texas teams, it's hard with these last few. It's different. I'm going to make an argument that's kind of vague, but whoever wins the Valley, I think, does belong on the 11 line. And I'm guessing out of whoever you want to call the leader right now. And actually, I wouldn't mind both Valley teams being in, but I want the Valley winner on the 11 line given these other options.
All right, so I'll list Illinois State here and Wichita State. Would say Illinois State is potentially to replace one of those Texas teams. David, I'll let you back in. Go ahead.
Well, TCU and Texas Tech, who really should be on the team.
Okay, David, we don't seem to be having your microphone on, though.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, it was – you muted it and it broke. I have – anyway, TCU, Texas Tech, and – a team that we had been discussing today, first I have Akron, who I know that they're weak on paper, but I really, really like their team, and I think that they are an 11-seed caliber, especially if they win out. And how about, oh my God, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets? I have them above both Clemson and Arkansas. I don't see how you couldn't.
So a lot of teams to mention here. Georgia Tech, let me pull up this profile. We were emailing back and forth about Georgia Tech earlier today, and it's a very interesting profile that there's a lot of losses here, but there are a home win over North Carolina and a home win over Florida State, as well as a decent road win at VCU. Tytel, these were your four teams. Do you think that there's an argument here? Do you want to defend the Texas teams over this Georgia Tech profile?
Not really, because I think the Georgia Tech's profile is getting better thanks to former Arizona Wildcat Josh Pastner. The interesting thing here is the Clemson pick at the 11th seed, because Georgia Tech could be a week away from sweeping Clemson, and if so, I don't see any way that you could put Clemson in over the Yellow Jackets.
And if we look at that profile again, you talk about a lot of losses. Well, at Tennessee is – I mean, Tennessee's not a – perhaps a tournament team should be able to win that more than they lose it. But at Duke, at Virginia Tech, at Virginia, and at Penn State, I don't have that figure at the top of my head, but what are those teams' combined home records? It's somewhere around really good. So are you really holding your nose that much with those four losses? And keep in mind, this is the 11 line. It's not the 4 of the 5 line.
I think Tennessee is an interesting comparison right here. Chattanooga and South Carolina are teams that have won at Tennessee. Georgia Tech and Kentucky are teams that haven't. So Tennessee is kind of all over the place at home.
I am going to go ahead and exercise a veto here. My veto is going to be over that TCU team. I'm going to bring the other three up a line each and go ahead and – I'm going to agree on this Georgia Tech pick. I think that this is a tournament-worthy team, if I could ever learn how to spell their name correctly. Georgia Tech is going in there. I think that's an interesting argument, that Matt, that you made about these Valley teams, either Illinois State or Wichita State. Wichita State, very fast day because of some really good power rating numbers, but not a lot of meat to the profile. In fact, I'll bring them up here. And Tytosh, I'd like to get your thought on this Wichita State team, because – they're sitting there in the low 20s in ratings like KenPom, but no top 100 wins. What do you do with that?
I fear that you have them miss out, because one of the perks of playing in a power conference, among many, many perks, is that you get a chance to face the best top 100 teams in the land on a nightly basis. When you play in the Valley, you get to face Illinois State and others. Granted, like, if you go into your power conference play and lose to everybody, that doesn't impress me either. But there's just not the opportunities. And Wichita had some opportunities and just came up short time and again.
Well, we have three at-large bid spots left. And Stalika, I'm going to give you the honor of telling me who the next three teams are. And if you do want to throw an auto bid in there, you can give me four even.
Well, it is going to be four teams because this is where I would add both Illinois State as the auto bid and Wichita State as an at-large right here. So I think the moment of truth comes here. Number one, I would add NC State as one of the last four going in because I think their wins at Duke and also at home against Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, and even Georgia Southern starting to look a little bit better. And as far as my last two bubble teams.
There's only one left.
Only one left.
Only one left.
I'm going to take the Memphis Tigers here. I mean, if I'm looking at some of their better wins, they have South Carolina. They went to Oklahoma and won. They beat Iowa on a neutral floor in Florida someplace. And
as I was saying, David, I'm going to give you this line.
Well, mine's interesting because a team that's not in yet that I mentioned earlier. Well, TCU, who should be up on the 10, but you moved down. I have Akron and Illinois State both as automatic qualifiers.
I put Illinois State in already.
Oh, Illinois State's in? Oh.
Yeah, John mentioned.
Well, I thought you were vetoing his whole line.
No, I'm not vetoing his whole line. I'd like to go ahead and comment on Illinois State, Wichita State, NC State, Memphis.
He didn't want to hear the truth about Memphis.
I liked Memphis, that they stink. I liked Memphis until last night. I mean, when you're a fringe bubble team and you lose to a non-tournament team, I think it kind of knocks you out. What about Utah? I really like them. I'll certainly like them if they win the night, which is assuming a lot. But they are actually my last team in.
Well, Matt, what do you think about who these last
amazingly, three? Amazingly, I have NC State in the field.
We're kind of looking at the last three at-large bids right now being Wichita State, NC State, Memphis. You could pretty much guarantee that I'm going to veto at least one team on this line being Memphis. But, Matt, what are your thoughts on these last? Who the last three teams really should be?
I am getting scared because the puppet is now reading my mind. I actually have the Utah Utes in here, too. I like how they've played since they've got Cedric Barfield and David Collette eligible. And that the power ratings really like them, and I think at least for now, dated like teams like Wichita State and Utah, I think are deserving teams, even if their paper is a little weaker. And if because of that, they're probably going to Dayton instead of even though I think both are maybe even 8 or 9 seed quality teams, but because of their paper, are not going to get that highest seeds. At least Wichita won't. Utah still has a little opportunity to pick up these wins later. But no, I really like Utah in here. In release for as of today, in Dayton's a good spot for him.
Tytel, I just circled the number there. Non-conference strength is scheduled 253. Top 100, no wins away from home, one win at home, and that's it. Do you want to convince me on Utah also?
I want to. I've been pulling for them, I think, the last couple of weeks. I really think we got to get TCU in this field, though. They have 6 losses, and they're 3-5. In conference play, but they've played 3 of the best teams in the nation and a bunch of other top 40 teams. I think they're going to get a little breather with Auburn and Texas coming up in the weeks ahead. So I wouldn't sleep on the Horned Frogs just yet.
I think it's a good argument here. I probably bumped TCU one time too many, quite honestly, that TCU does belong in here. Do you think Wichita State and NC State also belong in, though?
Who are you asking?
Yeah, you, John T.
It's hard to discount the win at Duke because it only happens with the Wolfpack once every 20 years or whatever. So they deserve a lot of credit for that, although their previous loss by like 100 points or something to the Tar Heels is certainly bad. What is it? 107-56. Good Lord.
Well, we can look at the Georgia Tech Duke score then, too.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I can get them in. Like, that is a signature win. Okay. As far as other ACC teams, like, I wouldn't sleep on Wake Forest either. Like, they've only lost to a bunch of great teams, and they'll have plenty of opportunities ahead.
Yeah, David, Wake Forest, RPI is 28, KenPom 37. The ratings are there.
Yeah, but
kind of like Utah, the wins are not.
Right. Well, I mean, at least Utah has won. They really don't have any.
Well, but they do if they wanted NC State, who we just put in this field.
Circle that number up top.
Non-conference strength of schedule, 13.
Yeah, and that's – well, and there you go. That's what's inflating the ratings.
Inflating the ratings, they beat – they won at Charleston. They beat Miami.
They won
at Richmond, who you just told me how good – yeah.
And at least Pomeroy, that's not a huge factor, the strength of schedule into it. That's mostly play.
I have Wake very close. They would have been my next team, so.
What about Cal? I mean, if you want to take a team that has one top 100 win and it was over USC, why not the team that won at USC instead of the team that won at home against USC?
I guess I'll go ahead and jump in because outside of the win at USC, their only other wins of note were against Princeton and Pearl Harbor and also UC Irvine at home. I'll read you the other wins that California has.
But you know, you're not dealing with a 253 non-conference strength of schedule. You're dealing with a 74.
I want to read this for people who are listening in their cars. South Dakota State, Wyoming, Southeast Louisiana, Alcorn State, UC Davis, Cal Poly, Arizona State, Washington State, Oregon State, Louisiana Tech. Is that really impressive?
Is it more impressive? You're saying that Utah is better than this?
I'm still saying Cal is better than Utah, but I don't have either team in my field yet.
That was my question, though. Isn't if you're going to talk Utah, don't you have to be talking Cal?
I would give Cal the edge over the two.
They also play 1 week from tonight, so we'll see.
Matt, is there anybody else that we haven't discussed or any other last moves that you think I should make on this list of at-large teams?
No, you brought up Wake. Wake is a team I had, but it's other than that, no, I actually did have NC State, and it's if only for my desire to see Dennis Smith in this tournament, I have NC State in. And that's Memphis was the only one I hated, and you've already knocked them out, so.
Yeah, I'm going to make a final call here, and I'm going to go with that Wake team and not Wichita State for the final spot, my final veto of the evening. It's tough, but Wichita doesn't have the wins. Wake doesn't have the wins. Cal doesn't have the wins. Utah doesn't have the wins. I put Akron in, David, but it doesn't solve our problem. We still need another team.
Yeah, but Akron should be in right there.
In fact, I will put Akron in right here below them as the next team, so it's going to be the same thing. One other team I want to throw out here that nobody mentioned tonight. What about Oklahoma State?
I had them behind everybody else that we mentioned, but just ahead of New Mexico State.
Let me pull up their profile here. I know, again, where are the wins? You at least have a decent non-conference strength of schedule there. You only have the one questionable loss at Texas, and they won at Wichita, who's right in our bubble. They won at Texas Tech, who we put in. They beat TCU.
And they're actually in the 20s in KenPom, and man, like, I would have a hard time these days seeing a power conference team in the 20s in KenPom getting left out.
Well, look at their overall conference record. I mean, that's also a historic leave out to be four games below. Only one team's gotten in with a four game below 500 record.
But didn't we already put Clemson in?
Yes, we shouldn't have.
Do you like this? What about this Oklahoma State team?
Love the profile. When you're losing to a bunch of amazing teams, I mean, look at they're going out of conference to play Carolina and Maryland, who are these amazing teams. And if you look at the wins, it's not just who they beat, it's how they beat them. At Wichita State by 17, at Texas Tech by 19, hosting TCU by 13. They're blowing out teams that are in the field. Ergo, they belong in the field.
Ergo, you have just convinced me. Wake Forest can wait out. Oklahoma State gets our last spot. That will round out the field here. I'm going to go ahead and complete the 12 line with the Valparaiso Crusaders.
I think we need to add another term right here. Can you please describe a waking? Because I think we just saw one here on live on tape delay.
A waking.
They're in, they're out.
They're gone. I also will reveal there for you what my proposed 13 through 16 lines are, which would complete our bracket. But let me go ahead and run through each of you. I'll leave this up on the screen here. Run through each of you. Let me start with Matt, let me start with you. Your thoughts on the overall field here, and if you want to campaign for one last veto, which I'm not going to give, go ahead.
No, that's one. I'm hoping Utah tonight will prove me right, beat Oregon, and hopefully vault themselves up into this field here, because I really like them as a team more than some of these others, but I understand their profile is lacking. I'd like to see Wichita in this field, and maybe I think they'll actually probably end up getting the Valley Auto bid, and it'll be a little bit moot, and I'll be heartbreaking as Illinois State once again plays their role of last four out that they've done in the past and will tragically maybe do so again.
Okay, Salika.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to have a serious problem about a team like Texas Tech if they're going to be hanging around the bubble at the end of the year with your non-conference strength of schedule of 340. I mean, look at the hissy fit that Joby had in the committee last year with South Carolina hanging around the bubble. I mean, Texas Tech will have a few chances in the second half of the Big 12 since their conference schedule was kind of front-loaded here.
John T.
For all you fans of 5-12 upsets, I guarantee you that nobody wants to see Akron on their schedule. Since opening night, Akron has two losses, Creighton away, Gonzaga away. He eased into MAC play with some very below-average wins, 5 points, Bowling Green at home, 4 points in Central Michigan, 4 points in Miami, Ohio. Since then, they've been blowing out teams, Ohio, Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, by an average of about 10 points a game. I could easily see this team going like 28-3 in the regular season. No 5 seed wants to see them in the tourney.
I think that 6 seeds might have to start worrying about them instead of 5s if they do go 28-3. I like this Akron team more and more. Yeah. David, yeah. Any other final thoughts?
Of all the teams that have not made the field yet or that we are under consideration, I like Utah the best. I realize their game has started now. I have no idea what's happening in it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they took down Oregon tonight.
And I'll agree with you. If they beat Oregon, now they have the meat on the profile that I think they would be longing over one of those last few teams that we put in, like the Georgia Techs, NC States, TCUs, Oklahoma States.
And I will note, I believe Dylan Brooks is playing tonight for Oregon. I think I saw him on the court.
I also want to just mention one last team that I think is fairly close that we did not discuss. I don't think they're in, but we did not really discuss Illinois either tonight. I think it's a team that's in the bubble talk still that has a shot to get in there. Maybe by next week we'll speak about them a little more, or they'll lose and we'll speak less. But I guess on that note, on behalf of down there, John Titel and John Salika, over there, David Griggs, over there, Matt Zukowski, I'm Chad Sherwood. If you want to look way down below now, you can check out the final bracket from what we did tonight. But I do want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.